Well, welcome back to the Prairie Podcast. This is Christy Allen, and I'm here with Pastor Joe Patterson.
Good morning, Christy. How are you today?
I'm super excited because my great friend Wendell is joining us today.
Yay, Wendell!
This is part two of our, if you will, On Grace Prayer Podcast crossover episodes.
Oh boy.
I love me a good crossover episode. So
creates hybrids.
Yes,
you
hybrids.
You know, mules are hybrids. So that's what we're creating here.
That's what we're creating. A grace prayer mule.
Other words for mules are, well, we won't go there.
You guys get the idea.
I signed up for this.
Yes, you did. And I'm excited that you're here.
Oh, boy.
This is going to be a fun conversation, Joe. I'm excited about this one. Anyway, so we have invited these three sages, should we call them sages of grace and wisdom? I don't know.
That's a good herb. I like it on pork.
That's right. They are getting, yes. So to add some flavor to the prayer podcast,
there you go.
Let's go with that. And so, Wendell, we would like to just have a conversation with you. Our folks that usually tune into the prayer podcast, we're looking for ways to just kind of lean more into our prayer life and figure out what does that even mean? Like we use these words, we make up in our mind that it has to look a certain way or be a certain way. And so here we try to have open, honest conversation about, well, what really are we talking about? And so we would like your perspective on prayer, and then we'll talk about how grace and prayer intersect. So
okay,
there you go.
Probably be good to start with kind of a backstory. I was brought up in a pastor's home, Christian home, and from my earliest recollection, my mother would always pray with me every night before I went to bed, and we prayed before every meal. We had family, what we call devotions, where we would read a scripture or read some Christian story, and then we would pray around the table. I don't know, 10, 11 years old, somebody, maybe my mom, I don't know, bought me a kid's devotional book. So here, read this, and then when you're done with the lesson, pray. And I kind of did that kind of thing all through high school and college and seminary and into my ministry. I would read something, and then eventually, to stop my wandering mind, somewhere in my ministry, I started keeping a prayer journal. So I would write my prayers, literally, word for word, write them. And that was all ritual. I came to a place in my late 40s, early 50s, where I thought, what am I doing? It didn't mean anything to me. There was no connection. There was no transformation. It wasn't real. It was all contrived. It was all fake. And I realized this is inherited spirituality. This is not a vital real relationship with God. It's an inherited thing that I was taught. I did it because I was told I was supposed to do it, but it didn't work. So then, I won't go into the big story, but then I had a falling out with God. This will intrigue people. Got kicked out of my last church, so I had this major falling out with God, and went for some time without talking to him at all. I didn't even want to think about him. I basically just walked away from him. And so at one point, I finally decided, well, he wouldn't leave me alone. That was the problem. He just, it's like, go away, God. And he's like, no, I think I'll just keep showing up. So he wouldn't leave me alone. So one day, in my little red truck that I still drive, I was driving to work and just let him have it. I just cussed him out. I mean, said the dirtiest word you can imagine to him, and stopped at a stoplight after about 10 minutes of my rant and thought, oh, what did I just do? I thought, you shouldn't have done that, Wendell. And it was almost as if he was sitting in the passenger side with his arms crossed, looking at me like a gentle, gentle father, and just saying, well, I was wondering when we'd finally get around to this. Yeah. And so he was so loving and so And I was like, well, shoot, I was wanting to get back at you. And he was just like, no, now we got a starting place because you got real. It's, this is not contrived. This is real. So it, that was the beginning of a new prayer paradigm for me. And I don't keep a journal. I don't ever get on my knees. I don't pray before meals. I don't pray in public. I don't, I rarely ever say a prayer out loud. And I never say to myself, okay, now is time to pray. Instead, where I'm at now is that my prayer life has become much more about listening and just being aware of God. And I'm finding him in places that my religious upbringing said you would never find God. But I'm finding him in people, in situations, in movies, in songs, in everywhere that have nothing to do with the church or religion, but God is there. And the more I look, the more I see him. The better my radar's tuned to pick him up, you know, see him and hear him. So that's a stark contrast between the way I used to do my journal. I didn't let him get a word in edgewise. No wonder he didn't show up, because I didn't let him talk. I just wrote like crazy because I wanted to go hunting or play my guitar or go see somebody. So let's get this out of the way. So God, you listen real quick, and I'll catch you tomorrow about the same time. But you don't say anything. Just listen. And so now it's completely reversed. The paradigm is completely reversed. So now I listen, and to me, life has become prayer. Breathing has become prayer. Just if I think it, if I take literally what Jesus said about the Comforter, the one who comes alongside, and he told the disciples, he's with you, but he will be in you. If I take that literally, which I do, I take that seriously, then when I think it, anything I think, I'm praying because he's there. We're having this internal conversation. And I should back up. There are times when it's real that I do pray publicly, or I pray with somebody, but it doesn't sound much like a prayer. It's, you know, but
more like a conversation. I've had those experiences with you. It's just it's very unstructured. All the nuts and bolts of what a prayer is supposed to look like that we've been taught as a young person, or you know, when I experienced those things with you, I recognize that this is a time that Wendell is offering his presence, you know, and ushering God's presence into this moment.
Yeah.
And it's not so much about the words. It's not so much about making sure that we check this off, make sure we say these things. It's about experiencing a moment with God and with each other.
It just always seems so awkward to me. There was a huge disconnect between our theology and our practice, that if God is present with us all the time, why do we make it such an awkward thing? Now let's talk to God. I mean, I don't say, okay, Christy, now I will talk to you. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would make you feel, if God is here, I'm not sure what chair he's sitting in, but if he's here, he's part of this conversation.
You don't have to announce it.
No.
And mark the moment.
No.
And then end the moment.
Right.
With amen.
Exactly.
You know, you don't have to do that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there have been times, the first time I did this, it blew me away. I was walking, and I just thought, I wonder how God's doing today. And just so I said, God, how are you doing today? And I thought, there's nobody listening, so I thought, I'm not trying to be clever.
Right.
Because
nobody's
there's nobody here
yeah.
for to say, well, that's a trendy thing to say.
Yeah.
You know, but I just said, because I was genuinely, I thought, I wonder if God would answer if I ask him how he was doing today. So I said, God, how are you doing today? And he said, I mean, I cried for 10 minutes after this. He said, I'm just digging hanging out with you.
Oh.
I'm just digging taking this walk with you. Oh. I was like, crap. I didn't see that one coming. And I thought, well, I really think that this conversation with God is far less religious and far more living room-ish.
Yes.
You know, sitting around the campfire-ish.
Yeah.
Eating a hot dog or drinking a Coke-ish. It's just, you know, it.
And the funny thing is we always talk on the podcast too about how we make it harder than it is. And if we really do believe scripture in that he is with us and wants to be, I mean, very clearly we were talking about the Shema not long ago, or Shema, however you say it. But about how in that scripture in Deuteronomy, how he talks about when you lay down and when you wake up and when you're walking around. And so very clearly it's about daily life and not just one day a week or one specific prayer time. And I guess just to flip flop to the other side, for some people, we need that structure, or we're just, you know, to kind of hang it somewhere.
Yeah.
But I think there's a balance that can be had between having that and then realizing, no, it's all the time, because we are to pray without ceasing. I mean, that, which again, obviously means that's all day, all the time, wherever you are, whomever you're with, without it having to be a, you know, marked out prayer time.
Well, to me, if you want to talk about formal prayers or written prayers, or poetic prayers, beautiful prayers, what child doesn't like to color a picture and take it to mom and dad for them to put on their refrigerator? So as a child of God, it can be very meaningful to write something out and say, here, God, I wrote this for you. It's like when our friend Megan passed, I wanted to write some sort of tribute to her. It meant something to me to write that for her. I think it's the same way with God, that if we're going through some sort of liturgy or some sort of formal praying, thinking it gets us brownie points or gets us ahead in this spiritual race, I think that's foolhardy. But if we see it as, no, I just colored a nice picture for my dad, and maybe he'll put it on the refrigerator. Mm. You know, that's different. Mm-hmm. That we can mutually walk by the refrigerator, and he pats me on the head and says, I like that. And I said, you like the picture I painted, I colored for you? So it's different than the ritual stuff is really what got cold to me, because I think I looked at it as this is the only way you can talk to God. Mm-hmm. And after a while, it's like, I'm not talking to God. I'm not sure what I'm doing, but I'm not talking to him.
What would you say to the individual that, you know, they're listening right now and they're like, wow, Wendell has got like this very, very meaningful connection with everything that God is touching around him. He's looking for it. He's got his head on a swivel, and he is trying to connect his awareness to God's movements at all times. Mm-hmm. What would you say to the person that's like just bogged down with work, with family, with stuff, and most days has the hardest time even seeing God remotely involved in any of it? Mm. What would you say to someone that finds their family, finds their marriage, finds their relationships, their friendships kind of in that spot, distant from God's movements all around them?
Yeah. I don't know why this came to my mind when you were asking that question, but if you want my knee-jerk reaction to that question right there.
I do.
Okay. It would be start hanging out with the least of these. Hmm. Spend some time with some little children who are fascinated with bugs and butterflies and pieces of dirt and sticks. Little teeny things in life are fascinating to them because they have the instinct to look for God in them. They don't know that's what they're doing, but that's... or go spend some time with homeless people who, you know, a sausage biscuit is their universe. You just made their day. And we, the disciples, to me, always majored in the minors. They strained at gnats and swallowed camels. And what was important to them, Jesus was like, it's not the important thing. And what was important to him, they didn't understand. And he was always picking up babies and touching lepers and being with the least of these. He understood that that connection was the most real and primal and basic connection, I think. And we're all sophisticated and all complicated and all rushed and everything. I think sometimes we need to get with these simpler people who see life through a more primal lens. That's not a good way to put it, but you get what I'm saying.
Kind of a more basic place.
There you go. Basic is better. Yeah.
Yeah.
Basic is better. But I think kids can teach us. Little kids can teach us so much. I think the very old people who have stopped trying to produce something and they're just living, you know, they can only be at this point in their life. I think they have tremendous things to teach us about connecting with God.
Well, yeah, I think that is something we can all take away from this conversation from start to finish of how you were talking about just noticing God in every place. Mm-hmm. And we do say here often on the prayer podcast that we want to understand and realize and recognize that God is at work in all places and all people and at all times. And so I think just even starting with that mindset and that awareness of his presence in all things and in all places, it would be a good place to start getting back to basics, going back to the, and I loved how you were, when you were talking about it with the disciples, how we look at the wrong thing and miss the right thing. We're too trying to make it lofty and pretty instead of realizing God's in my stress. God's in the fact that I know I don't have time to even think right now, but God's in that thought.
Yeah.
God's in that moment. And I think we forget that we're like, I don't even have time for you, instead of saying, wait, I'm glad you're here with me in this.
Right.
To be present at this time. So I think that's very helpful. To the fact that how can we even look at the right things and quit stressing and obsessing over the wrong things and be open to what, you know, just be open to the fact that God is there.
And the connection's not really our job. It's his job.
That's right.
He's always done the heavy lifting. Mm-hmm. If you read the story, he's always done the heavy lifting. I think of a story of somebody in a cave and a cave-in, and they've got their, you know, little shovel trying to dig their way out, and they think all is lost. They think all is, and what they don't know is that on the other side, there's a God with huge earth-moving equipment who's digging his way in. You know, they can't hear it, they don't know it, but he's, you know, and I think that needs to become our reality, that we have a God who wants to be known. We have a God who wants to make this connection. I mean, what's the Jesus thing all about? What's the Holy Spirit thing all about? God is desperately trying to make connection with us, and we're too busy looking at other stuff.
Well, we're so thankful for you being here today and reminding us, giving us just, you gifted us with this conversation today, reminding us that, and we need to be constantly reminded that there's no place that God's rich grace cannot be.
Oh yeah.
There's just no place. It's there. It's just it's impossible for him not to be, offer his involvement. But we do a really, really good job of missing a lot of it. We're really good.
We're certified missers.
We are. And so we're grateful for this conversation and grateful for our friendship here on the Prayer Podcast, and we hope that this conversation has enriched you as the listener, in your quest and your journey in prayer and in faith. And we are grateful that you've listened to us today. We'll let you go, and we'll be back next week with Jason Brown as we continue this conversation. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.